Blog Talk Radio, it is on. It's your boys, it's the brothers. We are on live in your house, in your car, on your cell phone, on your iPad, in your job, wherever you listen to us. We have arrived and we are happy to be with you once again. I am your host. I'm from Delaware. This is your boy Dre. Joining me at this time from Charm City is our residential professor, and that is none other than my brother Maurice. Maurice, say what's up to the people.
Howdy do. Howdy do, y'all. Howdy do.
You
know, I'm straight on joke time tonight.
Listen. We are just glad to be back in your cribs. We're glad to be back in your homes, and we got a lot going on. It's a lot going on this week. Apparently, Avril Lavigne, I think I'm saying her name is correct, has made it official with your boy Tyga, and they were spotted in London in a big old kiss. Power couple or not? What you think?
So before we get started, who was Tyga dating before Avril Lavigne? Was he dating one of the Kardashians?
Yeah. Hasn't everybody dated a Kardashian? let's see. Tyga has dated Blac Chyna, Iggy Azalea. Chanel Iman, Amina Blue, Kylie Williams, Analu Cardosa, and Bella Porch. Apparently he has a thing for vanilla women.
So he did not date, he was dating Blac Chyna, but I thought that he was dating a Kardashian. I thought his last girl was...
I just looked up Tyga's ex-girlfriends, and the Kardashian didn't come up. Kylie Jenner. He did date Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner. Yeah. So, okay. Yes, he was dating Kylie. So, I wouldn't say power couple, but I would say he has a type. He has a type. He has a type.
No, that's right. So two Americans that were kidnapped were found in Mexico dead. Two of them were found alive and are back in the U.S. this just has become real hot news today. The group crossed into Mexico on Friday. One of the two found alive is injured. They said that the Eric James Williams, which is one of the survivors, and Latavia McGee have returned to the U.S., according to their families. The four Americans, Williams, McGee, Zendell Brown, and McGee's cousin, Shahid Woodard, arrived Friday morning in Matamoros, Mexico, which is in the northeastern state of Tamaulipas, just south of Brownsville, Texas. And shortly after crossing into Mexico, unidentified gunmen shot the passengers of the vehicle. The U.S. Embassy in Mexico said the Americans had been traveling in a white minivan. And the gunmen herded the four U.S. citizens into another vehicle and fled. The Americans were not directly targeted. According to the Attorney General, Irvin Barrios, and it seems to be that it was a misunderstanding. Mexican investigators believe the kidnappers may have wrongly believed the Americans were rival human traffickers, according to what ABC News has posted. A source told ABC News, the two survivors were found Tuesday morning in a wooden house outside of Matamoros, and the deceased were also found inside the house, and the second was found outside of the house. So one of the deceased were found inside the house. One of the deceased were outside the house. Williams had a gunshot wound to his leg, according to the governor. And during the 3 days that they were held, the Americans were transferred to various places, including a clinic, in order to create confusion and avoid rescue efforts. One person has been arrested. A 24-year-old suspect was in charge of looking after the victims inside the house where they were found. McGee is a mother of five who traveled from South Carolina to Mexico to have a cosmetic medical procedure. I just feel this is a lot to decompress here. And I mean, it's a full story on ABC News. So on ABC News, you'll see the full story. It is a lot to decompress at one time. But
so
I really think our people need to stop going overseas to these procedures.
Yes, but the thing is, so we have people going overseas for procedures and then passing away. We have people going to Mexico to go have fun and then die at resorts. I mean, I'm concerned for safety reasons. Like, how do you get mistaken for rival sex? Was it sex drug traffickers or sex traffickers?
It just said rival traffickers. It didn't say which one.
How do you get mistaken for rival traffickers, first of all? And then number two, like, where were y'all? I'm not blaming them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming them at all.
I mean, according to ABC, like, this seems like they met them at the gate. You know, or not the gate, but, you know, at the border, from what it seems like on the way ABC has it written.
It's just, we have to, listen, I want to travel. I want to go to Mexico. I want to travel overseas. I want to go to London. I want to go to Paris one day. But at this point, the way things are setting up, I might just have to stay in the good old U.S. But even that is dicey.
Right.
You know, I might be sitting in my house and somebody try to, you know. So I'm concerned. Like, I'm concerned about safety.
I mean, it is a huge concern. I mean, like, you know, it's bad enough to me. We can barely travel in the United States without being somewhere where you got to duck and dodge. You know, but see, Mexico has always been janky, though. And that's the other thing that I don't think we look at, is the fact that a lot of these places we're choosing to go, they have been known to really not want us there anyway.
Right.
You know, and if you're a rival, like, for somebody to be waiting at the gate and think you're a rival trafficker, let's just assume does drugs. You know, let's just say it was drugs. I'm not going to assume, but let's just say it was drugs. For them to think that you're a rival trafficker, even if it's a rival sex trafficker, like, how often do you go to Mexico for them to actually look at your face and think you look like somebody we know?
Right. And we're going, and I agree with you, we got to be careful with going out of these, out to these various countries, having these procedures to be done. And like I said, I know it's cheaper in those countries, but you have to be careful with the doctors, what the doctors are giving you, what they're doing to your body. We have to be careful. So it's a lot of unanswered questions, but it's very telling to me where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing where what happens as they continue to develop this story, because you know you definitely know it's far from over. Hello.
I'm here.
Okay. Reese's peanut butter cups and Hershey chocolate bars are going vegan. How do you feel about that?
What does that mean? I mean, would it be made with almond milk? Would it be made with coconut milk? Like, what's the story? Like, vegan, I thought they were vegan because it's chocolate. Did I miss something? Was there meat thrown in the chocolate beforehand?
I don't like you. Yeah.
What is that? Hey, let's put this piece of chicken in the stock and see what happens.
So they are now doing a Reese's plant-based peanut butter cup, which will go on sale this month. And the second plant-based offering will be Hershey's plant-based extra creamy with almonds and sea salt in April. It's sold. They experimented with vegan chocolate before, sold an oat-based chocolate bar called Oat Made in some taste markets starting in 2021, but this is the first plant-based in the U.S.
Now, I have one question.
Uh-huh.
You want plant-based, will it reduce the amount of sugar so that I can actually enjoy it? don't give me some plant-based, and then you got me with 5 grams of sugar plus 35 grams of added sugar. So then I'm like, oh, well, if I eat it, I could have an answer, you know. So,
right.
When we understand now, it's known fat or we use more processed sugar than other countries. In other countries, their chocolate is not as sweet as it is in America. So my concern is, again, you're going plant-based. Well, are you going to kill me with sugar, though?
I mean, it
That's
is.
All I
mean,
I've never known Hershey not to
go hard on sugar.
Oh, it's going to go hard. It's going to, you know, it's going to be like, you know, when you make the Kool-Aid or the ice tea, you pour a half a bag of sugar in it.
Hey, yeah, you're going to get the whole church look.
Yeah, the whole church. So, we shall see. But, good luck. I want to see if some of my friends that are vegan will try it.
I'm interested in seeing how many people are actually receptive to this trial and error of Hershey. You know, I'm not big on vegan. Let me just say that. I'm not big on vegan. So I don't know about how, if I would eat it. You know, would you eat it?
Well, my dad, I would. My dad actually needs to go vegan. I've actually had a former coworker. She was vegan, And she actually, had let me try some vegan food, which was very delicious. It's a acquired taste. With most things are acquired taste. You know, like people going vegetarian or people going pescatarian. My sister, I have a sister that's pescatarian. So all about an acquired taste and what you are willing to handle. So I would try it just to see what it was like, to see how it tastes, the difference between, Hershey's made non-vegan versus Hershey with vegan. But again, I always feel like when you talk about non-vegan, when it comes to like certain candies and stuff, it's already made out of something that's vegan. So,
but you know, doesn't like some doesn't some chocolate have like other products in it that would make it like non-vegan?
The most they will have in it would be like nuts. You know, nuts are vegan. Like they said, they will warn you against those of people who have nut allergies, who are allergic to like nuts, to not eat it because it may have been made in a factory where it mixed in with nuts. So like, for instance, like Hershey's makes almonds. So they tell you as a caution, they write on there as a caution, be careful because of it may have been made in made with nuts, or may have cut something that was nuts, had nuts on it. So I'm not saying, I just feel like it's made from a plant, so it's already vegan, but okay.
All right, so yeah. Actor, of course, everything wants to go down at one time, once you start trying to upload stuff. Okay. On a good news, I guess, the actor from Boy Meets World is running for a house race in L.A. Ben Savage will be entering the political world.
Okay.
And he will be running. Yes, actor Ben Savage will be making his jump from Hollywood to politics. In an Instagram post, he said that he's a Democrat, and he said it's time to restore faith in government, and that voters want leaders that are unhindered by political division. And he is running for a U.S. House, I believe, House of Representative position.
I almost got him a little confused with his brother Fred. But, okay, man. Okay. So he won't be the first actor. He won't be the last actor. That we had an actor for president. Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had a couple. Jesse Ventura. He was an actor and a wrestler. Interesting. Vince McMahon's wife is in politics. She's also a huge Trump supporter.
She's a Republican. Am I playing Devereaux voice? Big Daddy was a Republican.
Yeah, she, and I heard she is Vince's daddy. So that's, this is going to be interesting, I think. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for him. I think this is something that'd be good. I think I'm going to check out some more on him and find out how we, what is his platforms and all that good stuff. But I think this is going to be interesting.
There is a senator retiring. He was not seeking a second term. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi, she's decided to step down. Like, this is her last run. This was her last time being the Senate, the House, the Speaker of the House. If the you know, if the Democrats win the House again, she is not. She's decided to step away. And actually, I can't think of his name. It's an African American. He is being, so he will be, if they win, he will be the House Speaker. So it looks like who is making a decision to sat on down.
They need to. They definitely need to. Kevin Feige and Patty Jenkins from Star Wars movies are reportedly dead.
No more. We're not getting no more Star Wars movies. We're not getting no more Star Wars.
Yeah. So that's what they're saying.
And isn't he the one who wrote Wonder Woman?
Yes, he wrote Wonder Woman, and he...
That poor thing just getting all... She getting rejected everywhere. Lord!
You know, it seems almost like it's like she's being... Almost like she's being blackballed, for real. Both of their films have been put on hold. Feige has a lot on his plate because he's building the next phase of Marvel stories, and Jenkins has turned her attention to other projects. So it seems as if they just don't want to do. That's what they're saying. Yeah, that's what reports are saying.
Other project. All right. Well, hire me. I'll write for this Star Wars movie. The whole cast will be black.
I know that's right. Earth, Wind, and Fire, a lot of Richie and Snoop Dogg are touring this summer.
Oh, my gosh! Hold on. Lionel Richie, not so much. Snoop, yay. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Because because to me, Lionel Richie can only sing either the Commodore song or All Night Long or what's the song?
you get some of
song.
Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire are touring together. It's going to be called the Sing a Song All Night Long Tour.
Sing a song. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's going to kick off August the 4th in St. Paul, Minnesota, before heading to Atlanta, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Seattle, and then ending in September in Los Angeles. They are in D.C., also in August, in Baltimore in August. It's really a quick tour. They're getting a lot of places, like back to back to back.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. So is Lionel going to end his set with Hello or All Night Long? What do you think?
I'm going to go with All Night Long to end the set because he's going to end with something upbeat. It's Lionel.
Okay.
You know, he'll probably open with Hello. Throw in Night Shift and then he's done. The rest of the tour is probably going to be Earth, Wind, and Fire. And Lionel's going to be probably
well,
I mean, you know.
Besides the Commodore songs, like, what else can he sing? Like,
I mean, he could do some remixes in there. You know, he got Jesus' Love. I don't know if he really going to try to.
Oh, yeah.
It.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has Jesus' Love. He has, what's the one on the field?
All right, so ladies, so you older ladies, get your good wigs on and your high heel shoes and purses.
He got the song that Mary Mary did when they did the tribute to Lionel Richie on BET.
I got to still watch that. Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yep. And then on the other side of the stage, you're looking at Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa, who are hitting the road on the high school reunion tour, along with Too Short and Warren G and DJ Drama.
Oh, no, not Too Short.
Yeah. 33 city tour, including Vancouver, British Columbia, Houston, St. Louis, and more.
Okay. All right.
That's where Buffy's going.
Which one are you going to?
None.
Yeah.
None. Absolutely none. Nope. I will fall asleep at the Earth, Wind, and Fire and Lionel Richie concert while Lionel was on stage. And I'm scared that if I go to the rap concert, somebody gonna be high and slap the shit out of me. And I don't want anyone to think I'm Chris Rock. So we're gonna stay away from both of those for me. It's a no for both of those for me. Speaking of getting slapped and Chris Rock did his comedy special on Netflix. It was highly anticipated. It was widely watched. And in my humble opinion, it did not get funny until he started going in on Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. I love Chris Rock. I have been a Chris Rock fan probably since Pookie on New Jack City. I just don't know what happened to the jokes. I was lost.
Again, I said to you earlier that I'm not a huge Chris Rock fan, so I wasn't expecting much. I did hear some of the jokes about Will and Jada, which was pretty funny, but I was never really a Chris Rock fan, so I can't really necessarily say. I didn't watch the special, but I got a clip of it as well, so. Yeah, it was a hard no for me. It's a hard no. Hard no.
Speaking of hard, California will be cutting ties with Walgreens over abortion pill sales.
So what are the Walgreens? They're gonna leave California, or what's going on here, Adam?
From what I mean, Washington Post is so bougie with their shit. According to the Washington Post, they gonna shut me down? According to the Washington Post, the state is actually cutting ties with all Walgreens stores because the governor was upset that they are selling abortion pills in his state.
I want to see how this plays out.
I'm very intrigued on how you're just going to shut down stores.
Right. Without an abortion bill.
Right. And it's California. Like, that would be the one state you need abortion pills in. You know how many, like, be real, like, you know how many politicians...
Right.
Because you know how many times abortion pills have helped politicians in California? Like, we're not even going to go to the celebrity.
Movie stars.
Know?
Right.
We're not going to look at that end of things just yet. Let's just stop at politicians. And it's like, oh, so now we're going to cut it? Okay, Pimpin. Y'all going a little bit too much for me now. This is now a lot too much. It's not even a little bit too much anymore. This is a lot too much with the whole Roe versus Wade epidemic. Like, I guess they say we let y'all get Black Lives Matter. So now, you know, y'all have to respect our decisions. Since Black Lives Matter, you know, we're making sure that nothing changes whatsoever in the country anymore. But I just feel like this is just becoming a lot for no reason. And I really think we need to do better, like ASAP.
Right.
So that's all I have. You got any hot topics before you go into tonight?
I do not have any hot topics. I want to just go ahead and get into our lovely, lovely, lovely topic for tonight. I wish we had an organ tonight.
Oh, don't do that, because, you know, I will find an organ on purpose.
Hi, everyone. We are going to talk about, is the 21st century church scared sad? And I'm saying it like that on purpose. Sad.
Okay, because I was so nervous.
As you all know, the Brothers Podcast here, the three of us are leaders in the church. Not only are we leaders in the church, we also are leaders outside the church. And again, we didn't want this podcast to be churchy per se. We wanted to deal with real topics. And one of the things that
viewer discretion is advised on this show.
We wanted to deal with. I actually wanted to talk about dealing with sex and the church, not from the point of view is the sex having too much of it, but why isn't it talked about? Or when it's talked about, it's looked at as disgusting. It's looked at as condescending for those people that are doing it or having sex. We have created this huge block when it comes to sex, that it's dirty and it's wrong and that it's only used for reproduction. When that's not the purpose of it, because it is for pleasure. How else are you going to have a good time sexually? How are you going to climax, have an orgasm if you don't enjoy it? And so I wanted to discuss those things concerning, you know, are we really, is the church really ready for this conversation? Because we're in the 21st century now. We're not in the 20th century. We're not in the 19th century. We're not during the time of Puritan society. We're not in that society. I mean, we are a Puritan society, but we're not at that place in the when the Puritans first came here. Are we really ready to deal with this topic? And we need to have these honest conversations because people are having sex. People are not just having sex, they're having sex and they're enjoying sex. And then they are enjoying sex, they're finding ways and tools and all these wonderful things to enjoy sex.
Okay.
So we really, for those of you that are listening to us, that even after the show, I'm not a sex expert. I am single. Let me say that. I'm single, and I'm not giving advice for people to have sex. This is not my go have sex, everybody. Go do it. Just do it. I'm saying, is the church really, truly ready to have this conversation and not make people feel bad about having sex, not to destroy people's character about having sex because someone has sex and they're wrong for doing it and making them feel like dirt or making them feel worthless because they're human beings and that's what they were created to do. They were created to enjoy something that was created by the Creator. So we talk about that, when we deal with that, and I'm not telling anyone to agree with me. Please have your own opinion, have your own mind. But first and foremost, are we really ready to deal with it? And it doesn't have to be behind the pulpit. It could be in a section for married couples. And then how do you address sex in the single person? How do you deal with sex and the widow? And the elderly. Because one of the highest you will do statistics, I wish I had some statistics and I'll find them for you. But there are statistics that STIs run very rampant inside. You found an organ. Run very rampant in nursing homes. People gonna think we so crazy.
I mean,
Dre, you are cracking in.
took us to a funeral, but we got there.
Right. So I want to first talk about, and Dre, please help me out. Just talking about, is the church really ready to have an honest discussion about sex?
I'm going to say no, for a number of reasons. Number one, I don't think the church is ready to have an honest discussion about sex, because number one, in order to have an honest discussion about something as a leader, I have to be honest. And many of our leaders are not going to do that, based upon the situation that they're currently in between the first ladies and the church secretaries. I really just don't believe that they're going to be completely honest. I really feel that many of us have our own, we don't have our own understanding of the Word of God enough to discuss worldly issues in the church. I personally feel that when the Lord says study to show thyself approved, I think we completely missed that in the Black church. I believe that many of us feel like studying to show ourselves approved means that whatever the pastor thought when my grandmother went to church is still relevant in 2023, because I still ain't read the whole Bible myself. So I feel that, and then not only have I not read it, but because my comprehension skills lacked in school, they also still lack when I read the word. So I really feel like, you know, we're not putting in enough emphasis. We're not putting in enough studying. I also feel that we're not, we don't want to piss off any of the members who are tithing very heavily in the church. So we're going to talk about shacking because that keeps the deacon board happy. We're going to talk about we're going to water down the woman at the well because that's going to keep the motherboard happy. We're going to talk highly about marriage because that's going to keep the deaconess board happy. We're going to highly talk about being successful and remaining abstinent because that's going to keep the youth pastor happy. And ain't nobody paying attention to nobody. And nobody's paying attention to not near sermon that's been preached, because everybody in the church, if we just be 100%, you're not going to find a church where you're going to say, where everyone is saying, oh, not only am I not having sex, but I'm okay with being pure. The only people in the church I feel that are not having sex are the ugly people and the ones who just can't get none.
I just hollered. Nice already. We do have a caller.
I'm trying to distinguish if it's a caller or a listener. Because I know who it is. So I'm trying to distinguish if he's listening tonight or if he's calling. I would love for him to send me a text message to let me know if he's listening or if he's actually calling in to be a part of this discussion, because you've been on hold for now.
Right. I think that something you said is very key. You don't want to piss people off, but there are a multitude of youth, young adults, elderly people, middle age, who are engaging and sexual acts outside of church,
mm-hmm.
Maybe inside the church, but
most of them are in the church. I mean, let's just be real,
right? But then there are issues with transmitted diseases, HIV, and the church is supposed to be the pillar of the community. People are supposed to be able to go and seek refuge. So my issue is that if we're not teaching it there, what are we, where, and then, but then we get mad when they teach it in school. We don't want our kids to take it. We sign the permission slip and say, my child may not take sex ed class, or my child, but your child knows more than what you know.
Your child knows more than what you know because your child don't need sex education when they got access to Pornhub.
They're doing it themselves. They're partaking and being more sexually active younger. So if we're not teaching them and we're not helping people be free about who they are sexually, then let me say it like this. Let me not say that. Let me say this. We're not teaching people about sex and what the purpose of it is, and we're just making it and we're watering it down. Because you said a lot. We're watering it down for people to, so that people don't get angry.
Mm-hmm.
But if we taught stuff at home, you wouldn't have some of the issues that, but we also utilize the church to do this too. It would be different. And we teach abstinence to the singles. We teach sex to the married couple.
Who are banging the singles.
Where is there a sign that says we're going to teach this to everyone? Because
I believe
go
ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I just believe that we need to become more transparent in today's church. Like, I believe that when the church can truly become transparent and the church can truly not be afraid to address issues because we're worried about who stays and who goes. First of all, there's a church like a Chinese store on every corner in the United States of America next to a liquor store. If nothing else, leaving my church to go to another church, that just shows me that you're not ready for the level that I'm the level of content that I'm feeding the people. And the reason I feel that the newer churches or those that have the leaders who aren't scared to address topics like homosexuality, LGBTQ acceptance, sex, the ones that ain't scared to say ho in the church, the reason I feel like that is a hard growth for that church is because many people do not want to be a part or affiliated with a church where the word is going to be so recognizable to their situation that they won't know what to do with it. We say we live in a woke society, but we truly don't live in a woke society. And so I feel that we're in a point now where if we make the church completely relevant and people are not only saved for real, but people are excited that someone is finally addressing these issues that they couldn't address when Big Mama was living, because Big Mama felt like Big Mama's pastor said that you can't address these type issues, when the whole time Big Mama and her pastor were screwing. Like, let's just, like, come on, black people, come on. Like, let's throw the facade away. Let's throw away the act of we so holier than thou that there's just certain things that we cannot preach about because it's against the doctrine of the church. It's just unbiblical to preach about things like that. Like, come on, player. Come on. This is why deliverance is not taking place in today's church. You can tarry on your altar, speak in tongue, lay hands, throw water, and flip oil all day long. And the folk are still leaving and they're still having sex because it has not been addressed. Just like it's not properly addressed in school. It's not properly addressed at home. It's not properly addressed in church. And so our kids are turning to OnlyFans, Pornhub, Just for Fans, Twitter, Jack BGC or whatever else is opening on the airwaves nowadays. Euphoria, what is that? 27,000 Days Later. We're still turning to the wrong things because everybody in my circle that is supposed to be grown up will not address the issues that I need to be addressed. And then we say the dumbest things like, well, that's a topic they're not ready for yet. Chick, they've been on watching porn since they were 7.
And then not only that, we say they're not ready, but then you don't and then they come to you and tell you, and then you get mad at them. Or you get, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. And I, like.
Yeah, we got a caller. Let's see what the caller thinks. Let's see what the caller thinks. Let's bring the caller in. Our good friend to the show, Demetrius, is in the building. D, what do you think about this situation?
Hey. I want to go back real quick, just a little bit. When I was in my early Delaware years, I was part of singles ministry, and we was taught that sex is off limits. You shouldn't bang nobody. You shouldn't smash nobody. Don't put it in your mouth or anything. It all belongs to married people. And I'm like, that's not fair because, you know, my stuff jumped, praise the Lord. And I know your stuff jumped, praise the Lord. So why do I have to keep my stuff in my pants all because I'm single? Like, that's not fair. And then your daughter is smashing the whole youth choir. That's a whole other story. Anyways.
The whole youth choir.
Praise the Lord. So it just bothered me because I'm like, you know, all because I don't have a ring on my finger, I can't have sex. That's not fair.
What's wrong with it?
Definitely understandable on that. We definitely.
I think that was told to you because, again, it's not. How am I saying? It comes from that idea, and see, people don't realize it. It comes from the idea of the Puritan society. The Puritan society only they could have sex if they were married. They were the only ones.
Exactly.
Not only that, but have sex in one position. That's missionary. And so when you look at it, and it was only for reproduction, for making sure that you had descendants, kids. And so when you look at it like that, it comes from that ideology that it's not supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to only be for married people because that's who God created it for.
Is this the same ideology that taught that it's okay to marry your cousins as long as they twice for
me? Oh, my.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Because if you go back to the kings and queens of England and France, they married cousins. They were marrying cousins. Keeping it.
You know why they were marrying cousins? They were marrying cousins because at night they were in the barn with the cousins. And little chickens got into their hen house, and now I have to marry you so I don't make my father look like he's raising a thot for a daughter.
Right. Wow, it's for cover up. And some of us have even experienced that as when we were growing up, we have family members that we got cousins, we got siblings that are apart from us because. Daddy, mama were pregnant when she married daddy. So, you know, we're looking at all of this sex, but we're not teaching it. It's not taught. And when I say teach sex, I'm not saying teach it to the point, teaching sex to make people have it, but teaching it the right way and what's the purpose of it and what it's for and that it's okay to be pleasured. And it's okay to feel pleasure and enjoy it. Because what happens is we're taught not to enjoy it because, like Demetrius said, it's only for married people. But then half of them don't even enjoy it.
Exactly.
I would like these same churches, I would challenge all churches to do a assessment, a survey, if you will, in your church of who is having sex that's not married. Then if you really are looking for topics to preach about in your church, then I would ask the married people to have an honest discussion
about who's having sex with somebody that ain't the person they said I do to.
Or the many times that they have had sex with the person they said that they did not have sex with. They did not say I do. Because it's multiple, and this show could go, we can do branches of this show. We can talk about people who cheated. We can talk about cheaters. We can talk about people cheating with the same sex. We can talk about people with the opposite sex. And, it's so many ways you can go. But I feel like it's such a miseducation within our community, our community concerning sex and so many places. Like, it's still, we're in 2023, and people still have misconceptions about HIV.
Mm-hmm.
How is transmitted? How do you get it? HIV has been out since the late 80s, 90s. We're now in 2023.
And it's been a whole
still
disease since it's been out.
It's gotten it now. It's to the point to where it's in, it's undetectable. People become undetectable. Mm-hmm. We still confused about it.
STI. Exactly. Once again, let me thank our friend to the show, Demetrius, for calling in. If you guys want to jump on board with 319-527-6083. We love our people to be our listeners, to be included in our conversation. It's so much to be said, and it's, like you said, this show can be unpacked in so many different ways and so many different angles that I just feel, we have to be careful even with the way we unpack it because, church folk get upset when you talk about the church, and that, to me, is a whole nother situation. A whole nother topic of discussion is, why does church folk get so upset, when we talk about the church? But because we're not, like you said, and let me throw this disclaimer, we're not telling people not to go to church. We're not telling people that there are angles of the church that just won't be shown or seen. We're not damning the church. We're not downing the pastors. We're not talking about the leaders, but we are challenging your thought to the process of understanding that we have come from the year 0000 to 2023. And there are things that we have been scared to talk about due to man-made doctrine. And it makes me ask the question, do y'all think Christ was scared to talk about these things? If he said that our job is to do what he's doing, and he's not scared to talk about these things, why is the church so scared to talk about these things?
Right.
You're not going to go to a church and they talk about weed. You're not going to go to a church that talks about fornication for real. And they don't talk about sex. They talk about fornication. And it's two different topics of discussion. You're not going to go to a church and they talk about and tell you it's okay to listen to other genres of music besides R&B. I mean, besides gospel.
And tell you, oh my goodness, I don't listen to. And you, whatever you don't listen to, that's your choice. Don't knock anybody else for their choices. So if you don't, I listen to R&B. I love R&B. I don't necessarily listen to what's current because I don't necessarily always understand it, and it's not. But I'll listen to, but if a song that I find catchy, I'll listen to it. But I just feel like we down people and make them feel bad about their choices, about what they do, because we're so judgmental, and then we never embrace people for living their truth. When our pastor didn't tell my members not to have sex. I'm sorry. I'm pastor. As a pastor, excuse me, I never not told my members not to have sex. Why? Because, number one, I don't control them. Weak feeling. What I did teach them is temperance, which is a fruit of the spirit. Fruit of the spirit. I told them to temper their flesh. Is I didn't beat them up with the word and say, you were wrong. You wrong for having sex. No. Because I understood whether I told them to do it or not to do it. At some point, they're going to do it.
Absolutely.
What I taught them is not be ho-ish, sleeping with everybody. But so we ain't going to get no amens on that part. Pastor, we don't get no amens on that part.
It's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
That you need to be, that you need to exhibit self-control. You don't have to open your legs to everybody. You don't have to be and having sexual intercourse with everyone.
Right. And I think part of the issue was just, I really felt like part of the issue was we try to force marriage too much in the church. What if I've been with my partner for 40 years? You telling me in 40 years, because I never said I do and I didn't want to spend money on a big wedding or even justice of the peace at that, for that matter, that we not supposed to be, you know, we're not supposed to be having sex. We've been together for 40 years. You know, the older saints called it shacking up. The newer saints call it survival.
But you know why marriage was pushed on people? So, again, marriage was pushed on people for a look. I realize that at 40, that people want me to get married for a look.
Yeah.
Married. Understand that I'm already happy. People don't understand I'm already doing what I feel like I need to do. People do it for a look. You want me to marry somebody that I may or may not be happy with. You want me to have a big ceremony. You want me to walk down the aisle, pledge my undying love for them, and then all of a sudden, 5 years later or 2 years later, 3 years later, we ain't together no more.
Hello. And then you want me to marry them before I even know them.
So I think that,
you know,
marriage is pushed on people for a look, and it's not for happiness. Again, people didn't, but see, people don't realize people didn't marry for happiness. They didn't marry the person to be happy.
Right.
As a contract.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, yeah. You know, we don't look at those things. We don't look at those things. We don't look at also, like, you know, how you know, they would give their kids away. You know, like when parents would choose an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm supposed to just be happy. What if I'm like Janet? What if I want my dude to have, you know, something that I know will satisfy me, and you didn't arrange for me to get married, and then this cat, you know, I'm still trying to find it.
Right.
Or what if I want my wife to be tight, and then, you know, you didn't arrange for me to get married, and now I'm in this tunnel echoing because you didn't arrange for me to marry somebody I don't want to be with.
Right. And that's what happened. And a lot of times that would happen. They wouldn't be happy. And I mean, again, this show could go so many ways, but we have to really look at, is the church really ready to handle that topic of sex and sexuality? Like, it's just not about sex. It's also about sexuality as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking
mm-hmm.
about people who are same gender loving, people who are non-binary, people who are transgender. Like, we got to have these conversations. It's just not about sex. It's about sexuality and what we're willing to tackle and handle. Because people are coming to ministries, coming to churches that are, but they've been coming that way for years.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, choir directors, people who direct the choir, openly transgender, people coming to your ministry, your grandparents' ministry, and your grandparents would tell you, oh, yeah, I remember Mr. So-and-so. He used to be, you know, and they'll tell you, and you're looking like, what? But these are the topics we're not having.
My granddaddy said, that's what the show can direct the choir.
The old granddaddy would say, what?
That sissy show could direct that choir.
Right. But we're not willing to have those conversations.
We're not. We're absolutely not. There's too many, I would rather this be behind closed doors. And it's too much stuff that we're keeping behind closed doors in the church. And then when it does come out or it does break loose that somebody was gay or that somebody that you thought was married wasn't married, it makes the church then not want to come to church because you fed me bull crap the entire time I've been in your church. When you could have just been 100 up front. If no man is perfect, if we all fall short every single day, why not discuss what makes us fall short?
Right.
You know, I was watching the pastor the other day, and I had to give him his kudos because he was like, you know, I was the biggest whore and porn person I knew. You know, porn watcher I knew. And it was something that I had to pray for deliverance from. But it didn't happen right away. You know what I mean? He literally was like, you know how many years it took me to stop watching porn? You know how hard it was for me to give up something I was clearly addicted to?
Right.
You know, and I had to respect him on the basis that this is what he's in a multicultural church, but this is stuff that the black leaders are scared to discuss.
Right.
But you got Muslim leaders telling their members it's okay to have 3 wives, 4 wives, 7 wives. And what happens when our people leave the church? They usually go right into Islam. They usually go right into another type of religion because they're...
Or they don't follow one at all.
Or they don't follow one at all. Exactly. Exactly. And then it's like, if I don't follow something, I'm just going to follow my own truth or what I believe is right. And that's sending our people to hell in a handbasket. So it's almost like you would rather your people go to hell than for you just to be honest. Come on, player.
Right.
I'd rather be transparent. Nope, your pastor not perfect. Let me tell y'all the things I do. The folk might not agree. You the pastor. You sitting there telling them folk stuff like that. Yeah, you know why? Because when we get delivered for real.
Right. Originally, my members were very, when I shared certain things with them, they were very shocked. But as I told them, I said, you have to understand I'm human. And not only am I human, there are things that you guys don't understand. I just don't say it
right
loud because you all can't necessarily handle it. And so when I say it to you and tell you, I'm telling you from a true place. I will never say I'm perfect. Like I will never say, oh, I'm perfect, Pastor. I'm not perfect. I've made some mistakes, and there's some things that I've done that I'm not proud of. I don't have any regrets.
Hello.
But I'm not proud of everything that I've done. And so being that I wasn't proud of it, but I learned from it. But I want you all to know is that you can learn from it, too. And that's why I didn't tell them not to have sex. Really try to keep them by example, but I also tried to. I understood that if they had sex, they had sex. That's not for, and I'm not judging them, and I'm not going to beat them up over the pulpit. I'm not going to make them feel bad. What I'm going to do is I'm going to teach them temperance. I'm going to teach them self control. I'm going to teach them not to have sex with everybody you encounter. But did it work? That's sometimes it didn't. But that was them. That was what they desired. But when they told me, I didn't beat them up either.
Right, because it's like it's a decision you made, and because you're human, once again, it goes right back to the scripture. We all fall short daily. Not once in a year, not three times a year, not every other year. We fall short daily. And if he really wanted to be God the way that I know God to be, we fall short by the second. Like, we got to be real in the church and not expect the members to think that, and stop letting these members put you on pedestals that you're not a champion, dog. It's okay to be that pastor that, you know, the first time I broke in church preaching, it flipped my members out. But it was over a soul that I could literally see the street snatching. That compassion, that transparency, the churches need these type of leaders, especially in today's time.
Right.
You know, it's okay. Right. I'm not saying go out here and be a thot with your members.
No. But you
we
but
got
lead
enough
by
souls
example.
In the church.
Show them.
But show them.
Show your members. Show your members. See, the thing is, this generation is looking for not word of mouth. They're looking for action.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for action. And you can't tell them one thing one minute and then the next minute do something else.
Right.
Because it messes them up mentally and emotionally. Because they're like,
exactly.
But you say you don't do this.
And then stop being scared
you
of your own
this,
of your own truth. And that's another thing. I think leaders gotta stop being scared of their own truth. Ain't no sense you preaching that I'm going to hell. Because I had a beer, and you go home, and your fridge is filled with Corona. So it's like, oh, okay, Pastor, so let me get this straight. I'm going to hell, but you can pop bottles. Really, dog?
Right, or you can pop Molly.
Right.
Or you can do like, this, or you can do that.
You can do this,
we
you
won't.
Can do that. You know, what
yep.
else are you doing? Because that's the next question that's going to come out their mouth. So what else are you doing? Don't
they're
offer,
looking
you know,
for transparency. They're looking for true
yes.
transparency, not this false transparency. And this is why we need to be transparent when it comes to sex. And we need to be transparent. And like you said, like, yes, a lot of and I think we're so shocked when – I think one of the things that shocks us is when we hear pastors and leaders say, hey, I – used to do so-and-so, or I used to be a porn star, or I used to be addicted to porn, or I used to be this, I did this. But this is my story, and this is how
mm-hmm.
I got free from this. Unlike some people
exactly.
who hide what they did, and we never know the true you because all we see is the mask. So
yeah.
I think that the church needs to reconsider about teaching about sex and sex, dealing with it, helping people, even helping your married couples be more sexually free. It's about being free. Again, a lot of you may not like this.
And then also know when to tell your story. And the reason I say that is because, I could throw it out there. I've been in a lot of churches where they have discussed that they used to be, they used to identify as this part of LGBTQ, and then the Lord, quote unquote, delivered
mm-hmm.
them, but they only told their story because they looked into the congregation and somebody in the congregation was LGBTQ. You know, and I'm a person, don't pinpoint your deliverance testimony based upon your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not want to be delivered. They may
right.
not what you know. They may be okay with who they are.
But the thing
many
is,
times,
love them where they are. Love them
exactly.
where they are, and support them where they are. Sometimes we don't support people. We don't love people where they are. We don't support them where they are because we think we gotta try to undo who they are. And that's
yes.
not why they're there. They're there for you. And I'm speaking from experience because I love someone where they are, where they were.
Yeah.
And I love this person with deep conviction. I never try to change them. I never try to make them feel like they were not accepted. As a matter of fact, I push them to be where they are. I'm just, you know, I love them. I love them as a person that's transgender. I love them. I accepted them being transgender. No part of, no past. Now, I'm going to say this. I probably going to get in trouble. But this is my podcast, and this is the Brothers Podcast. I love this person where they were. I didn't always do everything the right way, and I will admit that. But I was loving them as they were in their process. So did I do everything the right way? No, I did not. But I loved them, I supported them, and I showed them love in spite of what they think and what they have said. The truth is the truth. The truth is they were loved. The truth is they were appreciated. And the truth is they were taught. Now,
the truth is if they didn't feel like they were loved, they apparently don't know what love is, because that's the other thing we got to understand. In the midst of a lot of our traumas, many of us want something we can't identify with.
Yes, sir. And so I think that when the church teaches about sex, the first thing the church needs to teach about is love. Self-love, loving oneself, loving what that means, how to, and I think that will cut down on people giving themselves to everybody. As Demetrius said, sleeping with the entire youth choir.
That's a big youth choir.
Sticking with the entire youth, I ain't going to get there.
That was a big youth choir.
I'm not touching that with you.
I'm just saying that youth choir had about 60 members strong.
Jesus.
Male and female. If you start with the whole youth choir, male and female, 60 members strong, you's a hoe.
So I think we need to start there. I think that's the first place. Is learning how to love oneself and helping them find what love is and then what passion is and identifying those things. So
absolutely.
I'm done, bro. I'm done. We done went over our time.
No, we didn't. We still got 46 minutes and 12 seconds left.
Ooh, Jesus.
We actually did this very good tonight. Like, it's only 9:13. We only did an hour. We usually pull about almost 2 hours on the show. I've been peeping our runtime, but we've been doing good lately. I'm so proud of us. Well, I mean, you know, this has been an interesting topic. You know, we invite you guys, as always, to send your post-discussion topics to our Facebook page or our IG page at The Brothers Podcast. You can find us on both Instagram and on Facebook. You can also email us at The Brothers Podcast Media@gmail.com. You can also reach us on our blog talk page. We are always up for discussion and knowing how our guests feel. Don't forget, you can always call in each and every week. The number is right there on your screen if you're tuning in live through blog talk. If you're tuning in through iHeart or through Apple Podcasts, please know that in order to be a live caller, you must tune in to our live show on Tuesday night. 8 o'clock is our time from here until April. And then after April, after the second week of April, we'll be going back to, when we come back from our mid-season finale, we'll be going back to our 7 o'clock start time. Our mid-season finale will be the week after Easter. So I believe that's the 15th. We will not be having a live show, but there's enough seasonal shows for you to listen to and catch up. So we're going to call that our Brothers Podcast Binge Day. And we are expecting you guys to binge listen so that you can binge caught up. So by the time we get from our mid-season finale, which will only be 1 week, you guys will be up to date on where we are for this season. We are excited and we love you. And the way we're going to end this show, on behalf of my brother Maurice, on behalf of my brother Javon in the city of love, on behalf of yours truly, we're going to end this podcast with
our new intro, which will be the song that is played from here on out, unless another new intro pops up. But if it don't, we good. Maurice, you want to give the backdrop of who did our new intro? What's his name?
So our new intro was written by one of my favorite students. His name is Isaiah. He also is also my musician for a church. He is very creative. He has, if you go on Apple Music, I'm going to pull some of them. He actually has his own sound up. Let me see. His name is Isaiah Wilson on Apple Music. For those of you all that may have Apple Music, that's one of my students. He has written, he has a song, My One and Only. He wrote that February. He has, like, songs on Apple Music, Welcome to the Life of Zay, To Infinity and Beyond 2, Heartbreak Hotel, Welcome to the Life of Zay 2. I mean, the young man is very talented, and I'm very proud of him. So he wrote our introduction. I asked him to, our intro, I asked him to write it. I should have given him a little bit more guidance. But he wrote it, so I hope you enjoy it. And that's all I have to say.
And I'm going to say this to our listeners. Do me a favor. Pull up your iPhones right now. Tap into your Apple Music. Most of y'all get it because y'all ain't trying to pay for no CDs, and you surely ain't going to buy a whole album no more. So pull up your Apple Music. Download. Type in the search bar. Isaiah, what's the last name?
Wilson.
Isaiah Wilson. Put it in your search bars. Stream his music. Help the young man get some money in his pockets. Y'all know how this thing works with Apple Music. They get paid every time you listen. You know how I found out? Because we about to start getting paid every time you turn to our podcast, baby. So let's get this thing done. Isaiah Wilson, Apple Music. Tune into him. Get his stuff. Buy his stuff. Support his brand. If you need an intro, reach out to him directly. And until next time, we're going to end on this note from Isaiah Wilson. This is the intro to the Brothers Podcast on your Blog Talk Radio. We out.